Oh, yes, heavy falling out. And, well, let's see how heavy it will be when we speak to Harvey Wasserman in a few minutes. Obviously, we send our best to the people in Japan with three separate huge disasters, with the earthquake, the tsunami, and then the nuclear meltdowns. Let's say what they are. Yeah, we send our best to them. Let's find out about what the impact is of this nuclear disaster. I have my guest here on the phone, Harvey Wasserman. Are you there, Harvey?
I am indeed.
Well, thank you so much for being available, and we're very proud to have you on Cows Radio in Sonoma County.
Well, it's good to be with you, and you know, you're right in the bullseye there. The radiation has been coming from Fukushima. I keep wanting to say Chernobyl, from Fukushima, and has landed in California, unfortunately.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we'll definitely want to hear your views on that. But now, Harvey, you are an institution, may I say. You have been there, and you have walked the walk, and you have talked the talk. Wow, what a career you've had so far.
Well, if it continues like this, I'm going to be in an institution. Or I should say, be in an institution. So there you go.
Indeed. Now, back in the, you know, obviously 60s and 70s, what inspired you to initially basically take up arms against the nuclear industry?
Well, I was living on a nuclear plant. Sorry, I was living on a farm, and a communal farm, and we were raising organic food. And the local utility company came in and said they wanted to build a nuclear plant 4 miles from our house. Hmm. I have to admit, we were getting a little bored. We were from the anti-war movement. I marched against the war in Vietnam. I marched for civil rights. I actually met Martin Luther King in Mississippi in 1966. Hmm. We came to this beautiful, beautiful place in western Massachusetts, and we're having just a wonderful time, although I'm sure you in Sonoma County know that all those stories you hear about the hippie communes are true.
Oh, yeah, we have them right here.
Yeah, and but then in I was teaching history at Hampshire College. I now teach history at a couple of local colleges here in Ohio where I live. And they came in. Well, what happened was in December of 1973, the utility published in the local newspaper a picture for an airplane. What they did was they had an aerial view of this nuclear site. Well, it was a piece of land, basically, and said, you know, this is where we're going to build a nuclear plant. And they superimposed a drawing of the nuclear plant on the place where they were going to want to build it. And I saw that, and I said, you know, this is not going to happen. We're not going to let them do this, and we didn't. And you know, we beat them. And then we've been doing it ever since. And one night I had to write up the I'm a journalist. I wrote a history of the United States back then called Harvey Wasserman's History of the United States. And as I said, I was teaching history. And we had to do a fact sheet. The local newspaper offered us a whole page to explain why we were against the nuclear plant. Mm. And so I had to write it, and then we had to come up with a slogan, which was obviously going to be no nukes, but I just happened to type it out, and the rest is history, as they say.
Sometimes that little catchphrase is what it takes.
Yeah, it's been pretty successful. I didn't copyright it or anything, but you know, if we back then they said Richard Nixon got on national television and said there'd be 1,000 nuclear plants in the United States by the year 2000. Hmm. When he said that, there were about 250 online, under construction, or on order. And from the time he said it, the number went down, actually. I mean, Nixon really had some kind of special karma there. And we then got involved in the demonstrations at Seabrook, New Hampshire.
Oh, yes.
And in 1976, 77, and 78. But we were successful in stopping, I believe, about 900 reactors or so. I think the industry, the primary thing that we have done, since it's now for me 38 years, the primary thing we've done is prevented more federal money from going into new nuclear plants. And because if they can't be built without federal money, Wall Street will not fund nuclear power. It's just too crazy an investment. It won't work for them. And so they would have gotten the money from the government, but I believe we've been successful in stopping them, which brings me to the current moment.
Right.
You know, we have in the 2012 budget, the idea that the nuclear industry would get $36 billion in loan guarantees from new nuclear plants. And, you know, we have to understand that Barack Obama is a very, very pro-nuclear.
Yes.
And in the midst of all that, I think his response to the Fukushima situation has been abominable. I think he's been very, very weak and deceptive and has not taken action, and which needs to be taken. And and so he is continuing to push for more loan guarantees in the middle of all this craziness. He has been pushing for new loan guarantees, and so we need to, you know, defeat them. And so Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein, the two senators from California, need to be called and pressured to vote against these new subsidies. I think Boxer may be inclined to vote against them. I'm not so sure about Feinstein.
Right. Yeah, not too sure about her, yeah. Can't rely on her to vote the right way, it appears, anymore.
So, anyway, these have got to be gotten out of the 2012 budget. And if they don't get this money, then no, I don't think new nuclear plants will be built here. And but it's huge. And we also need to get Diablo Canyon and San Onofre shut. And Diablo Canyon's at San Luis Obispo, and San Onofre's between L.A. and San Diego. And these plants are very, very dangerous. They are on earthquake faults. They're very near.
Mm-hmm.
And simply, we can't have them. We can't have them operating.
But what is their life cycle? How long are they meant to last these power plants?
Well, somewhere between 30 and 40 years is what they originally said. Now they're in there trying to get, loan guarantees. I mean, extended licenses, that's another issue, where they're going in for all these, old reactors and saying, hey, we need to keep operating them, and it's insane because they're very, very dangerous, and are getting more so.
Well, that's it. Things don't rust doesn't get less rusty.
there's some a number of significant problems. Older reactors like Fukushima 1, and there are 23 reactors in the United States, by the way, that are similar to Fukushima 1, General Electric reactors, and they all have these spent fuel pools flying in the air, and you know, it's just astonishing. You wonder what kind of drugs they were taking.
Yeah, I noticed that picture the other day. They did a cut through a section, and I couldn't believe that's where they they put them up in the air, literally.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
The rods, yeah.
And you know, you just can't fathom how stupid and arrogant the very design is. So, that's where they're having trouble getting the coolant, of course. And, it's just, the whole thing is insane.
Yeah, because
no nuclear plant should ever have been built.
Exactly, and especially with the emergency generators in the basement.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I was in Japan in the mid-70s. This is not a surprise. Everybody knew that this would happen eventually. There was huge arguments. Why are you building nuclear plants in earthquake zones that can be washed over by tidal waves?
Right.
And we never got an answer. There was never a sane answer about this. They just said, oh, nothing will happen, and, you know, it's all taken care of, and don't worry about it.
Yeah, the usual, yeah.
And what's truly terrifying about the situation in Fukushima is, okay, we can suffer through this, and maybe they'll stop it, and maybe there won't be a meltdown, and all these wonderful things, and everybody's saying, thank goodness, but it can happen again tomorrow.
Well, that's the very thing, and I mean, for you, it must be such a huge, I told you so. I mean, that's all you need to point at now, really, isn't it?
Well, who knows? You're not dealing with rational people here.
Yeah.
I mean, when the President of the United States gets up and says that he's going to send in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to reevaluate these designs, I mean, come on. You know, there's nothing to reevaluate, and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission are the last people to do it. I mean, that's their job every day.
Right.
This is completely a dodge. Means nothing.
Yep. Well, that's, I think Illinois, where he was from, obviously, I think that has more nuclear reactors than any other state, does it?
Yes, there are 11 around the city. There were 13. We shut two of them, thankfully, at Zion. You know, there are lots, lots more around there, and they're not safe. There's no doubt about it. And it turns out there is a major earthquake fault that runs right up the Mississippi River. Now, I edit a website called nukefree.org, N-U-K-E-F-R-E-E.org, and I have another one called solartopia.org. Now, on nukefree.org, I've been posting articles, you know, breaking news as it comes out. So we continue to do that, and if you want to find out what's going on a regular basis, then go there, and N-U-K-E-F-R-E, and good, you can check out what's happening. At solartopia.org, I have that's where I have the home of my book, Solartopia, which explains the vision of a green-powered Earth. I mean, we really could have a totally green-powered Earth, no fossil fuels, no nuclear power, or what I call coal, oil, nukes and gas, which I call King Kong. And we don't need coal, oil, nukes and gas. We don't need any of that stuff. And we have the technology now to, you know, have a world that totally runs on renewables.
How long do you think, I mean, if the government was amenable to that, you know, how long really are we talking about to ramp up to that possibility?
Oh, a few years. It wouldn't. I mean, you know, nuclear power is priced out of the market now. I mean, the only thing propping up nuclear power is federal money.
Right.
And, you know, that's the reality of the situation. So there's just no reason to not make this transition. Solar is now cheaper, much cheaper than nuclear, and it's going to be cheaper even than fossil fuels.
Well, especially if we, you know, like Lawrence Livermore, that they're spending hundreds, you know, billions of dollars on various nuclear and atomic research as well.
Sometime you just got to throw in the towel. These guys are going to have to stop.
Yeah.
You know, they're just going to have to stop. And we're going to have to stop them. So there's another thing that can be done in California, which is to get Jerry Brown, who truly knows the issue very well. I mean, he was at Diablo Canyon in 1976. You know, and get him to forcibly intervene against the license extension. They're asking for a license extension at Diablo Canyon. And to call out the National Guard if he has to. You know, it's the governor who has to take control of the public health in case of a major accident. And we had a governor here in Ohio. In 1986, we had a nuclear plant, the Perry nuclear plant, on Lake Erie that was hit by an earthquake, amazingly enough, 5.5. And, you know, about 100 times less powerful than the one that hit Fukushima, but nonetheless, it did knock out pipes, knocked out bridges, knocked out roads. And so Governor Celeste had a commission see what would happen if such a thing happened here. How would we evacuate people? And he found out very clearly, I mean, the head of the State Patrol, the head of the PUC, the head of Disaster Services, they did this study and concluded that you can't evacuate in the midst of a radioactive incident. But the Nuclear Regulatory Commission ignored them and just went ahead and unlicensed it.
Wow.
And, you know, let's see about the, how do you evacuate Diablo Canyon? How do you evacuate Los Angeles if San Onofre goes?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the roads are chocked full at the best of times, let alone in a panic.
Right.
You know.
So people in California, Sonoma County, you have... You call the governor, get him to do what he can, in particular to oppose the license extension at Diablo Canyon.
Right.
Get the senators to oppose this $13 billion bailout here for the nuclear... $36
billion
bailout for the nuclear industry. And let's get wind and solar. You know, there's a great article I posted at nukefree.org that points out that none of the windmills in Japan were damaged by the earthquake. They all did perfectly fine.
Interesting.
So you know, and they are still pumping out electricity, and that's where a lot of the electricity is now coming from.
Now they're getting from. Now, talking about Japan, now obviously it seems like I'm a mechanical engineer of over 40 years, so I mean, just listening and watching what they're saying, I mean, it seems like we're way behind what is really happening. They just like today, they said they're at level 5, which is equal to a 3-mile island. Just seems like that doesn't seem to ring true.
Not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just, if you multiply 3 mile island by maybe 10, that's what we've got there. Because we've got 6 reactors potentially in danger, 4 definitely on the brink. You know, it's just so far beyond 3 mile island, it's ridiculous. And people did die at 3 mile island, there's no doubt about it.
Mm.
So, and they are dying now, as we know, at Fukushima. So, you know, this is really hard. And those of us who are doing it a long time, every once in a while somebody says, oh, don't you take great satisfaction in having been right? And I say, no, it's the opposite, because we're terrified. I'm terrified, you know. My little daughter's in Los Angeles. I mean, come on. You know, she just got married. And now I have to worry about her health and my grandchildren. I mean, This is not fun. This is not what we want. We all knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Just a question of when, and now it's here, and it's as bad as we always knew it would be.
Well, that's it. Are they going to, as you say, it doesn't seem like Obama has got the, just like offshore drilling, he's capitulated on that. It sounds like, from what you're saying, what he's saying, he's going the same way.
Well, yes, he's been a nuclear supporter. He's doing a terrible job. He hasn't clarified for people, you know, what's involved here. He hasn't, you know, made available potassium iodide or explained what its uses are. Mm-hmm. People have to be careful with the potassium iodide. It's not something you can just pop in like an aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
It's counterindicated for certain people. So, you know, all this is happening. And he's doing nothing except, you know, covering up for the industry. He's been taking a very lackadaisical attitude, which we now expect from him.
Yeah.
And we're just, it's a tragedy.
Hmm. It is. It really is. The high hopes we had. That's the destiny, it seems. Now, for California, obviously, today they detected the first particles of radiation from the cloud that's come up from the nuclear plants. Really, what can we do? What should we do? What's your advice?
Watch it very, very carefully. And when they say that there's no health impacts, any rise in radiation implies health impacts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are pro-life, there is no amount of radiation that would not harm a pregnant woman, an embryo, or a fetus in utero. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
If you can measure it, it's dangerous. And obviously, these are measurable amounts. They will come over California and then go all across the United States. And this is not like a clump of radiation and it's going to come and then there's not going to be any more. It's a river or a tsunami of radiation. Now, the winds have shifted towards Tokyo now. Bad for them, I guess, you know, better for the United States, but I don't take any, you know, great solace in that, but that's the bottom line here. This stuff will keep pouring out, and the wind will keep shifting, and it will keep coming. There's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, compared to Chernobyl, I know there's a different design. There was no real containment at Chernobyl, I understand. So,
well, actually, that turns out to not be the case.
Oh.
I know that you've read that, and no reason not to believe it, but these reactors have weaker containments than Chernobyl.
Hmm.
There's 30-some reactors in the United States, or at least 23, that are not protected as well as Chernobyl was. Now, Chernobyl was a big reactor, and it had a graphite cooling system that, you know, was bad, but which we don't have in these reactors, and some people say that made Chernobyl a lot worse, but, you know, the fact of the matter is that they did have a building over the reactor.
Hmm.
And it was meant to control the radioactive emissions. So it's not like they just weren't there at all. There was a significant containment.
Right. And I think I heard today the first time that they're talking about doing the same solution. Otherwise, they're throwing up their hands and saying, we're just going to pour concrete on the thing and hopefully it goes away.
Well, it won't go away.
Yeah.
it will continue to be a problem. And what we have to do in the United States is very clear. We have to pay very careful attention to what's going on. We have to shut these reactors in our own backyard, and especially these, you know, they're in California. There was a reactor that was going to be built in Humboldt, you know.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It was going to be right on, directly on, an earthquake fault, to the extent that a breach of the fault of the reactor could well have just fallen into the thing. I mean, you can go to the hole in Humboldt where they were getting ready to build, and it's there. That's the that's the earthquake fault. And so that was stopped, thankfully.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have a few of these. And as I say, there would have been 1,000 nukes in the year 2000.
Hmm.
Yeah. People have to believe and know that we can win these things.
Well, right. Well, there were about 100 now in the United States.
104.
So,
and, 23 are of similar design to what we have at Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many, many are on earthquake faults, including, as I say, the four in California.
Right. And, of course, they're obviously 30, 40 years old, getting near the end of their life anyway.
Well, let's see. I was arrested at Diablo Canyon in 1984.
Hmm.
I spent three lovely nights in the San Luis County Jail. So I highly recommend. Very nice. Especially when you're there with a few hundred other people. And,
yeah.
And so that was... Diablo opened, I think, in 85 or 86. Well, what happened when Diablo was opening was they were about to open the thing, and then they discovered that they had used the wrong set of blueprints.
Oh, yeah.
And that the reactor pressure vessel had actually been installed backwards. It was a great moment in nuclear engineering history. And, of course, they had to change it, and everybody's all embarrassed. They wouldn't have found it if we hadn't delayed them. We kept delaying and delaying and delaying, and finally they had to relook at the plans and see that they'd screwed up. So they went in and they fixed it, unfortunately.
Right. For a lot of money, yeah.
And San Onofre is older. San Onofre has been, I think, is in the early 80s. And there are three reactors at San Onofre, but one of them is shut.
Hmm.
There are actually three reactor sites in the U.S., at least, where there are three reactors, but one is shut. Indian Point has three and one is shut. And Millstone in Connecticut has three and one is shut. There's a lot of spent fuel there, as
right.
well as the three reactors at San Onofre.
What happened to the, what was it called, the one near Sacramento that was shut down?
Well, that one is a great story. It's the Rancho Seco nuclear plant.
Rancho Seco, yeah.
And 1989, I believe it was, there was a referendum. Now, Sacramento has a municipal utility company, which means it's owned by the public. And so when the public got sick of paying for this ridiculous reactor, which kept screwing up, it shut. In other circumstances, there would be only an advisory referendum. But in Sacramento, it was a binding referendum.
Mm.
And so the people voted in June of, I believe, 89. They shut the reactor. And by God, the next day it shut. What a concept.
People power. When people realize they've got it, it actually works.
Well, it's very helpful to have a municipal utility. It makes a big difference.
Yeah.
If you own your own utility, then you can have some leeway.
Yeah, we're discovering that in certainly up here in Northern California, the battles with PG&E we're having. It seems like there's been some interesting defections to nuclear power over the last few years, like Stuart Brand.
Well, they're actually not so interesting. There's two.
Yeah.
Stuart Brand and Patrick Moore.
Oh, yes.
I keep waiting to hear from Stuart Brand on this earthquake. We heard today from Patrick Moore, and he was groveling at the feet of the nuclear industry, which he's well paid to do. But but we haven't heard from Stuart Brand yet. I don't know if he's going to come to his senses. But what's remarkable, actually, is how few have gone over to the dark side.
Hmm.
You know, because there's a lot of money to be made supporting nuclear power.
Right.
And as Stuart kindly, you know, I do still have a soft spot in my heart for Stuart Brand because I debated him, I don't know when, and someone accused me of, like, profiteering by fighting against nuclear power, and Stuart pointed out that no one ever got rich fighting nuclear power. There's no doubt about that. So Patrick, on the other hand, is not particularly gracious, things like that. I have met him also. I had a debate with him in Michigan.
Hmm.
And but other than those two, there's really nobody who has gone wholeheartedly over to the nuclear power industry. And that's a pretty impressive sign, I think, because the rewards are substantial. There's no doubt about it.
Indeed.
And none of the major environmental organizations has turned around and come out in favor of nuclear power.
Hmm. So, interesting. Wow.
And many of the really great people, like Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Brown, Graham Nash, these people have stuck with us. And if you go to nukefree.org, you will find a beautiful video, a music video, that they did to help us stop the last attempt at getting loan guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say that Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi were instrumental in stopping the last round. And if they were going after $50 billion at the time, and if that $50 billion had gone through, we'd be in a really difficult, much more difficult position now than we are.
Right.
We're still in a difficult position, but much better shape than we would have been if those loan guarantees had been passed in 2007 when they tried. So these are my heroes, Bonnie, Jackson, Graham, and then Nancy Pelosi. Harry Reid helped us also, and Barbara Boxer. They were instrumental.
So it really does mean people contacting them is so vital then.
Very vital at this point. Everybody listening in should call these senators and their congresspeople. I don't know who's representing Northern California right now.
Lynn Woolsey and is up here.
Well, then, you know, they should be told absolutely to not vote in favor of these loan guarantees. Got to be stopped.
Indeed. It just will literally fuel, it will just refuel the whole thing. What do you see after what's just happened? How do you see the trajectory, a realistic view of what's going to happen over the next year or two because of this?
Well, we don't know yet until the accident stops.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of this thing right now. We don't know how it's going to turn out. It could go on for a long, long time. God forbid, but it could. And so if we don't know... until we get it under control, how bad it'll be. I think that the impact on Europe is definitive. The Prime Minister of Germany now has said that she will shut 7 reactors, and I think that all of them are going to go down. The German anti-nuclear movement is quite fierce.
Yes.
There have been huge marches. I don't think the Germans will relent until all the reactors are shut. China, and this is a really big one, has announced that they are rethinking their desire to build new nuclear plants.
Mm.
And that would be a major breakthrough,
yeah,
put that way.
We haven't
heard anything from India, really. I mean, they said there's some kind of vague discussion of rethinking. But also, the disruption was critical in a certain sense because... many of the key components of new nuclear plants come from Japan.
Oh.
So this disruption of Japanese industry is doubly significant.
Huh. How interesting. So apart from cars, parts, it's also nuclear parts.
Right. Now let me talk one little bit here, and then I'm going to have to go, although I guess
yes.
We're close to the... You go to the top of the hour? Is that...
Yes, we do, yeah.
This book I wrote, Solartopia.
Yes.
I got a grant, actually, from a California foundation involving Gerrymander, Alvin Duskin, and Randy Hayes, good friends of mine. And
oh, yeah.
My mandate was to write a portrayal of the Earth, of human civilization as it could look, if we went totally to renewables.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was I constructed a hypothetical airplane ride from Hamburg to Honolulu in the year 2030.
Okay.
And in this airplane ride, we find, you know, we look down at Denmark, and we see a country that's totally run with windmills, which they're close to now anyway. They have quite a bit of wind power in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
Denmark made a decision a long time ago to not build new nuclear plants. And then, you know, we see the whole country ringed with windmills and then with solar panels on all the buildings. The rooftops with actually, some have solar panels and some are green.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're planted with crops.
The living roof, yeah.
Yeah, living roofs. We go over Norway, which actually is almost all renewable now anyway because of, well, it has the opportunity to be because they have so much hydropower.
Oh, yes.
From the fjords that come pouring down. And then we go across the Atlantic and we see Iceland where they have tremendous geothermal.
Mm-hmm.
And come to America, portray a New York City that where everything is recycled and the skyscrapers are all solarized and there's windmills and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we go like that. We go across the United States. We look down in Ohio. There are windmills in Ohio. There are windmills on the lake. In the lake, Chicago, the Windy City, is run totally with wind. All these things are possible. And, you know, you don't have to, like, imagine any huge breakthroughs with to make this possible. We do have the technology available right now to do this 100%.
So what? And again, it's going to take people power to keep pressing their representatives.
Well, that and also, you know, people doing it, people making the making their own technology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're in an area of the country, of course, which is famous for marijuana cultivation.
Oh yes.
And one of the major pieces of Solartopia is hemp, because biofuels are very important. The ultimate plant, the ultimate crop for biofuels is hemp. And because, I don't have to tell people listening to the show how easily it grows and how quickly.
And how useful it is. Yeah.
What's that?
And how useful it is.
Useful it is, right. So hemp would be the very best of all the crops. We don't want, when we go to increased biofuels, we don't want corn, we don't want soy, we don't want food crops. We want to be able to use crops that are easy to grow, prolific, don't require fertilizer or pesticides or herbicides or any of that stuff.
Right.
And that's hemp. And so, you know, Sonoma could be a great center for raising biofuels.
I would think so. There's plenty now.
So at any rate, with Solartopia, then we fly over the Southwest. We see solar panels all over the Southwest. We see Los Angeles has become totally self-sufficient. And all this is possible with available technology. What we have to do is shut down the nuclear plants. And that's hopefully coming soon, and that will depend on you and your listeners.
Yes, indeed. It is down to us. You are the clarion call and the herald. We have to listen.
So that's about it. So I hope the people will call the senators, call the governor, call your congressman, get rid of this $36 billion loan guarantee scam, get rid of Diablo Canyon and San Onofre. These are things that are doable. And then bring in renewables as much as we possibly can. Get hemp legal. I mean, hemp is, there are all sorts of arguments about why marijuana should or should not be legal. I mean, it's ridiculous, obviously.
Right.
but if you ask somebody why hemp is illegal, you get a blank stare. There's absolutely no reason for it at all.
Right. Corporate interests, I think, got rid of it originally, I think.
Well, yes, that's right. Now, of course, you know, a lot of the pharmaceuticals are afraid of marijuana, as well they should be. I mean, marijuana is a much better antidepressant than a lot of these other things.
Right.
And so that's where we have to head.
Well, I hope we can get there. I think you've certainly helped us move along a bit, Harvey, with your efforts over the years. Just thank you so much for it.
Thank you. Come visit me at nukefree, yes. nukefree.org, and at solartopia.org, solartopia.org. You might, if you want to, go click on Pete Seeger, the great folk singer.
Mm-hmm.
Graciously wrote a song for Solartopia.
Oh.
And we made a YouTube out of it, which is available at solartopia.org. And it's on a wonderful new CD called Tomorrow's Children, which just won a Grammy.
Oh, beautiful.
So it goes about 4.5 minutes. You may want to search it out and put it on the air. It has Dar Williams and David Burns singing on it. And it's a really cool song. I think you'll like it a lot.
Oh, I'll definitely check it out. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you, Harvey.
I hope we can do it again under happier circumstances.
Yes, indeed. We'll be monitoring it, and I'm sure you will be.
Good. I'll see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Harvey.
Let's get my head around this recycling stuff. Orange crates on Monday, yeah? No, Tuesday. And black bags on Monday, after the green sacks on alternate Fridays. No, that's green bins. Because it's, yes, green sacks are on the first Wednesday of the month, yeah. Okay, got that. Brown sacks is cardboard, flattened cardboard every Tuesday as well. No. Oh, shit. Thursdays, of course. Thursdays. Metal, plastic, and broken glass can also go in black bags. Broken glass, double wrapped broken glass. That can go on Mondays as well. Good. Okay, well, that's it then. What do we do with these few small pieces of asbestos? Ah!